program today to make sure I'm kind of staying within parameters here today. The gospel today is a long reading, so I will not have you stand. If you join with me on page 1042, Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus says, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places, fearful events, and great signs in the heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All people will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. For this is a time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and for nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable: "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I will tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful of your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. That day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, your vision for how we would actually live our lives is much different than what we often do. Your vision is not that we would be filled with anxiety and fear and trepidation and anger, but that we would know your peace, that we would know the strength that you offer us into our lives, your kindness and your goodness. Lord Jesus, be with us, for we have need of healing from divisiveness, need of healing for those who they feel they are never heard or understood, need of healing for those who fear racism, sexism, xenophobism. Lord, we need your healing. We look to you. We worship you. We give you thanks for Christ who has come amongst us. Help us, Lord, to be a new people transformed by knowing him. In your name we pray. Amen. Did you feel that today? Our gospel reading carries this great weight. These are huge, magnanimous words that just carry the sense of this is what will be. And it's overwhelming to us. Jesus speaks to one of the disciples' questions today. When will this happen? And what will be a sign of this coming about to happen? If you get Time Magazine, if you saw Time Magazine, maybe you saw this one. I know you can't see it from there, but it says, "The end is near." And it's a picture of Hillary and the Donald in front holding the sign, "The end is near." How many of you guys have seen this one before? You've seen this, right? Okay, so it's there, and I think someone even texted it to me this last week. It texted me this picture of "The end is near." It strikes a sense of humor because it really means, thank goodness, the election was almost over. Like, it's finally here. End of this. But it also strikes a sense of humor, a little truth in there, because it's like things are so bad, so uncomfortable, so divisive, that is this when Christ will come? There's been a lot of conversation in all kinds of circles about the time of Christ's coming. And I just want to say from the get-go, so maybe you could be at peace and understand, there's a few places where Jesus simply refers here over and over again to the disciples, but they don't hear or understand it. Many things will happen before that day comes, but it will come. Luther himself was asked, well, if you knew Christ was coming tomorrow, what would you do? Luther said, I would go and plant a tree. And so we are always to live our lives with a sense of expecting the return of Christ and what that day means, the glory of that day. But we should always be living our lives as if that is our call to serve the King who leads us in our lives. There's no sense of like that we should somehow be fearful or panic or live our lives differently because Christ is coming. But we should just be faithful in being witnesses to who he is and what it means. Jesus' answer to the disciples' question was in response to his words that not one stone would be left on the other. At the beginning of chapter 21, Jesus is there in the temple courtyard, and people are bringing their offerings. I think they had six different offerings on that day. Isn't that great? Six different offerings that were there at the temple that you were to give to. Last week, we only had two. So I think next week, we're going to maybe think of having six. Good news, right? Those offerings were there, and they were for different things. And there were wealthy people pouring their money into it was a noisy offering, okay? So we would take their coins, and they would pour it, and it would make this huge noise when the wealthy people gave their money. But when this poor, poor widow, you know, without anything, she had two small mites, the smallest copper coins ever made, and she put those quietly into the offering plate. And Jesus said, this widow has given more than all the others together. And the disciples are like, sure. And so there's this beginning of our text today where the disciples are like, We're trying to understand what you meant by that, Jesus. It doesn't quite make sense. It seems incredulous to us that she gave more than all the others. Don't you see these fine stones in this fine building? There were stones in that temple, and there were columns in that temple that took years to make. Years. It took 40 years for that temple to be made. Out of one simple rock, they would carve a giant cluster of grapes about 12 feet high, and then they would stick that at a certain place in the wall or gates of the building, and then they would cover it with gold. Pounds and pounds of gold would cover that rock. It was a big building. It was impressive. And it was so powerful and strong. And Jesus says to them, not one stone will be left on the other. And they take those words to heart. What do you mean, Jesus? When will this happen? And what will be a sign of it? And Jesus speaks to them, and he speaks to us, that not to let our hearts be troubled. Don't be fearful. He says there will be all kinds of troubles that come along the way in history. There will be many events. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and famine and all kinds of great troubles in the world. And the very foundations of the earth will be shaken, and the things in the sky will be different. When Abraham Lincoln was going through the Civil War, him and his Secretary of State, I can't remember his name right now, would go out at night and they would pray at night. And they would look up to the stars and they would say, after they prayed and found some peace with God during that Civil War, Lincoln would look up and say, the majors, the stars, the constellations are still in their places. The heavens hadn't shaken yet. The world was not going to end. So Jesus tells us, do not be fearful. Be at peace. Do not be afraid. As we hear the story of every stone being knocked down, I can't help but think and feel in our lives that there are stones in our life that has been knocked down, just rumble all around us. Things that we used to hold very dear and reverent in our society have been knocked over. You know, we used to hold with greatest respect our churches, what they stood for, what the buildings meant. We used to hold in greatest respect our freedom of speech, our Constitution, the wealth that this country had. We held it with great respect. We felt blessed by God. We had great sense of respect for hospitals that cared for people, that people gave to those hospitals, and those hospitals were built out of loving, caring hearts of people. And we thank people that served in those places. We have schools that were built out of a root of faith, out of a sense of conviction that people needed to know the truth, needed to be trained to live good lives. There was a sense of reverence about life and about things. In many ways, we know those stones have come tumbling down. They've been knocked down. We look at hospitals with cynicism. Why do they charge so much? Why is healthcare so out of line? We look at churches with questions. Why do they be so disconnected from people? Why are they so disconnected from life? And why don't churches emphasize the right things? We become disconnected from our schools, universities, because they teach things that cause division amongst us. And so we've had these stones be knocked over in our life. In our world, we face the same kinds of things, all kinds of things that we are fearful of. Terrorism. It's incredible, a rapid increase in the organization and power of ISIS in our world. We have countries that have gone into debt, like Greece and other places like that, and we have this huge sense of despair about the economy. How can this last? How can $20 trillion of debt be handled? We have human activities that some would say threaten the survival of the planet, of life on Earth. We have stones that are just being pushed over one after the other, saying, what could stand? What will stand? We have fears and comments about racism, about sexism, about abuse, about bullying. We have fears of the rich and powerful in the world. We have fears about immigrants, aliens, or undocumented workers, whatever you want to call people. We have all these fears. We have fear of loss of sense of family, fear of loss of sense of community. And for a long time, we've just lived with this constant input, too much data about all the things that are troubling, about all these stones falling down. In the last week, I've heard some media commentators say that it's probably not safe at Thanksgiving this year to talk about politics or to talk about what's going on. And if you think your family's going to clash, maybe they better just stay home. Fear, anger, misunderstanding. Jesus says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all this kind of stuff, he says to you and me, don't be frightened. Do not be frightened. The other day with the funeral of Shard Cadwell, Allison said, please share with people the verse that Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so for her funeral worship folder, we put that right in the front. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Shard, like all of us, faced many challenges in life, many things that were just heartbreaking and stressful and things you couldn't quite totally overcome. But be of good cheer. Jesus is here. Jesus knows. Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a way. And so when we think of all these stones being tossed down and all the assaults on people's values, what would it look like for Christians, for you and me, to have a different view of all these things? What would it look like? All sides have expressed fear or created fear. All sides have broken out with words of anger, maybe said or not said, but frustration. And we see things going on in the world that seem far away and seem like, well, we can't control that. But Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of peace, and I think he does call us, in a sense, to speak, to be witnesses of the faith. Jesus says, when all these things happen, you will be brought before others, but don't worry about what you will say. But trust that out of your faith, out of your relationship with God, that God will give you the right words, words of wisdom to speak. What would it look like? Maybe we'd simply say that everyone is welcome here. Everyone is welcome in this place. Everyone here is welcome to be forgiven, to be heard, to be understood, to be cherished, to be lifted up. Everyone. That's what it looks like. That's what the kingdom of God, the peace of God that he wishes to bring to us. What would it look like for you to hear the fears of other people? What would it look like for you to hear the sense of people who are feeling like they're on the fringe of society and losing out on life and all that this life in this country provides for us? What is it like to be those people? Think about that. What does it mean for you to love a black person? What does that mean for you? To be connected with a black person in your life and to love them and understand them, even if they might profess to be your enemy? What is it like for you to love a white person who has a totally different opinion of things than you? What does it mean to be at peace and to listen to them and to hold back words of difference, just to listen, just to let them know that you have the peace of Christ to share? None of us always get it right. We all have mistakes and blunders. But what does it mean for us to be gracious, first of all? And not to react out of fear in our lives or a sense of foreboding or woefulness, but to take Jesus' words to heart, do not be fearful, be at peace. Jesus, as King, proclaimed himself as King for all people, for all times. And his kingdom will be the one that will stand, and it will be a good kingdom. Jesus came to earth, and he announced himself as the true King, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is saying, there's lots of time. There's lots of peace. There's lots of blessings that we have to share with whomever comes across our path. We have blessings to share. Jesus says his kingdom is now. And the hand of grace, the hand of peace, is when he says, this is what I want you to share. It will overcome all these things. All this fear, all this stuff that's been piled on is never, ever too big for God to handle. He handles all that with just his pure goodness. So our challenge is to let his goodness go through us. So when there's tension, when there's fear, when there's anxiety, when people are being pushed against each other, Jesus says, let me be there. Let me be Lord. Let me bring peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that you come into our lives with a whole new perspective of what it means for each person to come humbly before you, to ask for forgiveness, to ask to be redirected in our lives, to seek to bring peace and blessing to others rather than to bring power or sword or loud clashing. So Lord, we ask this day that the gospel of peace, this task which you ask us to share in all the world with everyone, will be foremost on our mind, and not fear, not anger, and not power. In your name we pray. Amen.